Bag up, bag up. Bag up, Terry. Put it in reverse, Terry. Put it in reverse. Oh, Lord. Lord, Jesus. Oh, Lord. Oh, Jesus. What the fuck what you doing, Terry? Terry, what's going on?
So, Mike Wood is the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News. Can such a thing happen in the city of Pensacola this year?
Yeah, it can. You know, every year I listen, I look at that video, and it's almost as traditional at the 4th of July as the WKRP video or the show with the Thanksgiving.
It's the turkey drop. Yeah, it's the mobile leprechaun. It's Terry and the fireworks. That's right.
Yeah, absolutely. So, look, we want everybody to go out and have a great time tonight and just be careful. You know, we've got a great free show downtown tonight that is bigger than it's ever been before. So and it's free. We encourage everybody to go down there and do that because it's free, it's safe, and everybody gets to keep their fingers. And that's a pretty cool.
Yeah, no, it's a good thing. And, you know, I mean, people always, like, if you drive down I-110 toward the fireworks tonight at 8:30 or 8:15, if you're coming late like we always do, you see fireworks going off all over the city. And I know, you know, as law enforcement, it's always this balancing of interests, right? Because you have a lot of cops deployed downtown when you have a big crowd and you got an event. And yet it does remain illegal in the city of Pensacola, despite it being legal in the county, in both counties. It's legal in both counties to shoot off fireworks. It's just not in the city of Pensacola. So things that zoom and boom, that's a violation of the law. And you don't want to find yourself getting arrested on the 4th of July for being dumb, right?
No, and you know, we don't want to arrest anybody for that. It is a law that's on the books. When we arrive, some people, it's confusing because of the state law. So the first thing we're going to do is we're going to warn them and let them know that they're in violation. Hopefully we won't have to make a return trip. But if we do have to take it up to the next level. So historically, it hasn't been a huge issue. Now, what it is we get calls for the noise, and we get a lot of those. And we do answer each and every one of those calls. The issue is that those calls are on lower priorities. We have to obviously answer emergency calls first, high priority calls first, and then we will get around to those calls. And a lot of times by the time we get there, the fireworks have been used up and there's nothing for the officer to see or investigate.
How many calls this week and then tonight in particular do you guys get, does 911 get of a, I think I heard a gunshot, but I'm not sure if it's a firework or not?
Yeah, we're going to get a lot of those. And so, you know, we have ShotSpotter that's going to help us out, and ShotSpotter can determine. Most of the time, there are some false cases, but sometimes it will determine whether it's a gunfire or not. But we're going to get those calls where people think it's shots fired. We get over there and determine that it's fireworks. So that's something that we get every year. But our calls for fireworks complaints can sometimes get backed up an hour or 2 hours because obviously, we have to answer the emergency calls first. And people are going to be off today. They're going to be partying all day long. Yeah. And sometimes into the evening, they start getting upset with each other. Disturbances break out. And we obviously have to answer those calls first.
Right, for sure. And ShotSpotter, as I recall, does distinguish between fireworks and gunfire. I'm assuming it's not a 100% accuracy, but it's fairly good at distinguishing them, right?
Yeah, it's pretty good. So that the sound goes off at a central location. It's listened to by a person who is trained in the difference between fireworks and gunshots. But sometimes we still do get one that comes in as a gunshot. It turns out to be fireworks. So hopefully we won't have too many of those false positives, if you would, tonight.
Anything else as far as safety or going to the fireworks downtown? Oh, I know one question I have been asked. Can people walk on the new bridge and stand on the pedestrian side westward towards the bay and watch the fireworks from the pedestrian walkway?
Yes, they can on the pedestrian walkway. We just ask the traffic not stop on the bridge and watch the fireworks show. We need to keep that moving. And believe it or not, in the past, we've had issues with people just stopping to take a couple of pictures or some video on the bridge, and you can't do that.
Yeah, that's not good. But I, you know, people don't think about these things. And I was kind of looking at the map, and that's, it's about the same distance from there as from Bayfront. So I'm not sure that you gain much by being on the bridge in terms of visibility, but I'm sure people are going to, you know, want to do that. And, you know, that's, there are benches there. If you can get one early, I suppose it'll be available for you. Talking to Mike Wood, the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department, had a couple of really unpleasant things happen in the last week. One was you had a pedestrian fatality at Pace and Gadsden on Saturday, right?
Yeah, the individual walked out into traffic and was struck and killed. And that's, you know, that's something we've talked about so many times about using crosswalks, especially at night. But when they don't use crosswalks and possibly in dark clothing, and the driver is just not prepared or not planning on seeing a pedestrian walk out in front of them, and then you have problems such as this. So, yeah, we hated to see it, and we're going to try to just keep telling people to use those crosswalks.
I have never lived in a place where I felt so when I'm driving, felt so concerned that I would inadvertently kill somebody because of people walking near or into traffic. And, you know, I've just never lived in a place where it was such, and it is such a thing here. And, you know, I don't know if it's the South or if it's Florida or whatever, but, and as you say, particularly at night, people wear dark clothing, they don't wear anything reflective. And it's super weird and super scary to, you know, just to drive around sometimes at night because of that. We also had a very, very unpleasant thing happen. You guys had a traffic stop on Cervantes, maybe the day before, I don't know, that where you had a the suspect shot himself after getting pulled over. Is that right?
Yeah, the officer was attempting to stop a pickup truck for, all it was, Andrew, was an expired tag. And the officer was getting ready or approaching the vehicle, and the individual took a handgun and pointed it at himself, at his head, and fired a shot. And the officer saw this. You know, it's a traumatic, it's a bad situation all the way around. We don't know what was going on in that individual's life. I can tell you that he was not wanted for a crime. But, you know, and this is something horrible for the officer to have to look at, too. And,
yeah.
And we don't know. I mean, we don't know exactly what caused this individual to do what he did.
Well, and, you know, obviously for that officer, it's horrendous to see. It raises other questions like, well, you know, they didn't draw the gun on the officer, but, you know, somebody's using a gun in the car when you get, I mean, just all of it is just, and we don't really know anything, I'm assuming, about why, or, I mean, the person died instantly or they were transported. Can you at least, do we know that much?
Well, the officers on scene decided they did not have time to wait on EMS. They put him in one of our vehicles and transported him to Baptist Hospital themselves as quickly as they could. Sometimes you just don't, seconds matter, and that's the decision that they made to do. So, it's one of those situations where it's just horrible all the way around. But we wish things like that didn't happen, but we never know what's going on in someone's life. And we're certainly glad that the individual didn't point the gun at the officer and cause further problems.
Right, absolutely. We're talking to Mike Wood, the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. You said something a moment ago I just wanted to follow up on. The officer did not wait for EMS to get to the scene because seconds matter when you're talking about a gunshot injury to the head in this horrible incident on Cervantes. Somebody has asked me the question whether this was not related to a hold at EMS or a wait. This is just, you just act immediately because that's really all there is to do in the situation, right?
Yeah, I don't know if there was a hold or not. I know that they usually will ask EMS what their ETA is, their estimated time of arrival.
Yeah.
And the decision was made that we cannot wait on this particular situation.
Okay. So we don't really know, but in any case, in, you know, exigent circumstances, this is not that uncommon.
No, it's not. We've done this before on extreme emergencies. You know, a couple of things. We have to think quickly on things like that. So.
Yeah.
We have to determine whether, you know, are we making things worse by transporting, or are we going to possibly save a life by transporting? So these are decisions that are made on each individual case and have to be made quickly.
You know, I don't know the answer to this. What kind of medical life-saving training do our beat cops get?
We've got basic first aid and CPR.
Okay.
So that's, we do it the best we can with what we have. Everybody has a first aid kit in their vehicle. And the main thing on these situations is to hopefully stop the bleeding. We all have tourniquets on our duty belts. They're trained in the use of the tourniquet. So if they can just stop the bleeding, that's priority number one.
Is there any more enhanced training that is available to police officers who want to get it? I mean, I assume the answer is yes, but I just don't know. That's why I'm kind of asking.
Well, we've got the training that all the training that we're supposed to have,
right.
That we're required to have. Now, if an officer wants to go and get more training on their own, they're certainly able to do that.
Right. Okay. Very good. Mike Wood is the public information officer for PPD. We always like to end with a cop myth or a did you know. What do you got for me today, Mike?
Yeah, this is a myth that evidence can't be used in your case if the police did not have a search warrant. The Fourth Amendment to the U.S. Constitution does protect Americans from unreasonable searches and seizures. It states that a member of law enforcement must first go in front of a judge and explain why they have probable cause for a search warrant. But there are exceptions to these warrant requirements, and those include plain and open view law, stop and frisk, and automobile searches, incident to arrest, and other emergency circumstances. So that's not necessarily true. That's a myth. It just depends on each individual case on whether we needed a warrant at that point or not.
Or if you give consent, right?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, consent's totally different. But a lot of people, usually the problems come with searches of vehicles, incident to arrest.
Right.
And the officers are able to do that, to search the area where the driver or the passenger was sitting. If it needs to go further than that, then we can wait and get a search warrant and then search the rest of that vehicle.
Yeah, and all of those exceptions that you mentioned are important ones. Plain view, you know, if they pull you over and you've got the bag of cocaine sitting in the back seat, they don't need a search warrant for that. Or if you consent, or if it's an emergency, like a chase, if you're chasing somebody into a structure and they, you know, you have to follow them because they're in the commission. I mean, which you and I have talked about many times, but that's interesting. That's like so mistaken about the law that it almost surprises me, but I suppose I should never be surprised at what people don't understand about the law these days. I suppose that shouldn't surprise. I do have one last question for you, Mike. This is a very important cop-related question. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Will the winner of the Nathan's annual hot dog eating contest today be the actual champion since Joey Chestnut was disqualified?
You know, that's tough. I've got to go with no. Joey is going to be hard to beat. He's with, obviously, under another label now or another company instead of Nathan. So I'm still a Joey Chestnut fan. I know my son is. He's tried to do this himself, and it's not easy.
No, it is definitely not easy. And now that we have the official declarative dispositive truth of the matter from Mike Wood, we know what we all believe as well. Mike, thanks as always for the time and for the perspective and the information and for keeping us safe, sir. I appreciate it.
I appreciate that, and thank you for not asking me about presidential politics.
No, sir. Even though I can have fun with a silly question, but I'm never going to ask you things that are outside of your purview.